on a Friday, Mad Radio on Sports Radio 610. We are wondering this morning if Brian Gain is expecting a little bit too much out of the draft in a week. And it is only a week away. It is 6 days away right now. So in 7 days, in exactly 7 days, we will know who the Texans select at number 23. Here's what Brian Gain said yesterday at his pre-draft news conference when he was discussing the moves that his team made in free agency.
We were able to address some situations in free agency, and free agency is certainly more of a needs-driven environment, and we felt like we were able to add some pieces to the puzzle here to help us come into this draft and to be in position to take the next best player. So we're pleased with some of the things we did in free agency, and now we're positioned here in the draft, I think, to go back to this just to get four players in the top 86. We hope at some point in time all four of those players would be starters or eventual starters if you're drafting them in the first three rounds. So we have an opportunity here, and we have every intention of getting it right, to potentially get four new starters here in 7 days' time.
What do you guys think about the idea of getting four starters next week?
I think that's perfectly acceptable and fine, because he's talking about those four picks in the top three rounds, for one. And it's not like the Texans haven't done that before. They've done it. I went back to 2012. They got four starters out of that draft, and I didn't even talk about free agents in here. But 2014, they got 5.5 starters. I wasn't sure exactly how to figure Alfred Blue and Jay Prosh, because one's a fullback and one's a started at times, but it wasn't like he was a full-time starter. 2016 and 2017, they got three starters out of the draft. 2018, four starters out of the draft. And I think that's realistic. Now, remember, he said possibly. It wasn't saying like, hey, we're going to draft these top four guys and they're all going to start day one. He said possibly eventual starters. That's the goal. If you get that, that's an awesome draft. It's an awesome draft, or your team kind of sucks to begin with. So I don't, like, the Texans don't kind of suck to begin with. They're a competitive football team. So it's not like their roster is bereft of talent, but it's a little bit of a combination of, all right, you're going to, hopefully you draft real well, but also you'd like those guys to actually have to compete at the positions at which you draft them. You'd like to have some other guys on the roster already.
In the words of Aerosmith, when I first heard this Brian Gain press conference, and you know, you hear the four starters, I started thinking to myself, dream on! You know, essentially,
yes.
That's crazy talk. But then, as Seth just pointed out, you have to realize Brian Gain's talking about like the actual process, and he's talking about not necessarily this coming season. My big problem is I want those four starters now.
Yeah. For one, I've grown to appreciate your impressions, but never do Steven Tyler again.
Dream on!
I just said don't ever do him again.
It's a little harsh for 6:03.
That's harsh at 6:03.
Wake up! It's Good Friday,
yeah,
everybody.
A little harsh. It is Good Friday.
It's harsh out of Steven Tyler at 3:03 in the afternoon.
And he just smokes some cigarettes.
Yeah. It's like actually, it's harsh in a good way when Steven Tyler does it.
So the four starters.
I don't know. I don't think it's. I think this is that kind of draft too. And I think that Brian Gain has been kind of shockingly transparent, unless he's lying to us all about what he thinks of this draft. But I think it's consistent with what a lot of people are saying about this draft. That, look, you might not feel great about the cornerbacks like being actual top 15 picks, but once you get to the back half of the first round and on into the second round, there's a whole lot of guys that look like they could be starters. They don't have that freakish skill that would vault them up into the top five or anything. But whether it's Greedy Williams or Rakia Sin or DeAndre Baker or some of these other cornerbacks, you feel like you could get a starter in late first or early second round. I think with the offensive tackles, it's the same way. Not a whole lot of superstar power, but potential capable starters late in the first round and all through the second round. So it's worked out well for the Texans. If you're going to have two extreme needs on your team coming into draft day, I think that they're going to have a plethora of options at both the 23rd pick in the first round, and then both their picks in the second round.
How many starters do they need to draft next week for the 2019 team?
Because two.
I think it's definitely two. They need two guys to start. Like next week, they got to pick at least two guys between Thursday and Friday who can start for this team right away. You know, four sounds like a lot, but then as Seth mentioned, you go through, you know, year by year, and the Texans, with their drafting, are usually getting a couple starters out of this draft. So that's realistic. But for this season, is two the number? Do they need three guys immediately?
I guess pick the position. What positions are they?
Tackle, corner,
At
maybe
tackle,
another corner.
At tackle, I think they can do better. At cornerback, I think that right now it is Jonathan Joseph and Bradley Roby as your starting guys, and whoever you end up drafting is probably going to gradually get worked in. And Aaron Colvin, watch your ass. You better actually perform this season.
Yeah. I think that there's – boy, okay, it's a good point that you make, because for one, they expect Bradley Roby to start. But they're also not committed to him long term. If a rookie comes in, I'm thinking the rookie would probably push Jonathan Joseph out of a job unless Bradley Roby just is inconsistent. Jonathan Joseph wouldn't be out of a job, but he might not be starting. I think though that you look at slot corner or just your nickel cornerback as a starter these days. You've got five defensive backs at least out on the field 60-70% of the time in today's NFL. So I kind of consider a rookie that plays a lot at cornerback a starter, even if he's not out there at the start of the game. And then at offensive tackle, unless Shontrell Henderson and Matt Khalil are 100% healthy and capable on opening day, I would really, really, really like to have an offensive tackle that has impressed them so much as a rookie that he's out there starting.
That he can start.
Yeah. I feel like the upside of that is way more than anybody that's on the roster right now.
Is that realistic?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely realistic.
A first rounder.
Yeah. And I would say even a second rounder based on what Gain is saying.
Yeah.
Like the idea of an offensive tackle who at some point this season can start, I think that's absolutely realistic.
As far as the realistic part of can you get four starters in the first three rounds, or let's just say in the draft, let's remember 2013 had some of the worst draft picks the team has had.
Yep.
But at the same time, it also had DeAndre Hopkins, DJ Swearinger, and Ryan Griffin. You got three solid starters out of that draft. You know, even though it's Sam Montgomery, the weird thing about 2013 was that you had some good picks, but then you had some just dreadful Brennan Williams, Sam Montgomery, Trevardo Williams, guys that just aren't even in the draft. I don't know if any of those guys are in the league anymore. Is Sam Montgomery in the league?
No.
He's not?
It's been a long time.
Is it been?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how would I know that?
Old Sonic.
It's like there's always guys kicking around that are inactive or what have you.
I'm going to guess the last time Sam played was like 2015.
That's our Sonic.
What? You know what?
He's been out forever.
Actually, I'm right.
Oh, are you?
I got it right.
He's a six-time Pro Bowler.
He's been playing in the CFL since 2015.
It's professional football, Mike.
That is professional football, quite the NFL.
It's the Canadian Pro Bowl.
My favorite Sam Montgomery moment was when we had Les Miles on and we asked him about Sam Montgomery and he was playing outside line. We asked him about the Texans playing Sam Montgomery at outside linebacker and there was a pregnant pause and then, well, I mean, you know, those guys obviously know a lot more about their defense than I do. yeah. You know, I that might not have been where I would have put him, but yeah, there you go. And then within like 6 weeks, you got Gary Kubiak saying, well, you know, old Sam just likes to eat a lot, it turns out, so we're going to move him down to defensive end.
That was already a troubling sign, just right to begin with.
You know that you have issues when you don't make it with the Cincinnati Bengals after they give you a second chance,
He was a disaster. So basically, we all think that the Texans can get two starters out of next week, and eventually that number can move to three or four.
I think we're hoping for it. I
that's the goal.
I think it's such a crapshoot. Like, even if you put in all the work, it really is a matter of, are you going to have the right guy fall to you, and then are you going to be able to work that guy in? And I do wonder about the offensive line side of things. I saw this post yesterday on Pro Football Talk where the NFL is recommending more technique work in training camp, but apparently, so there's a handshake agreement between teams and I guess the Players Association, which would allow for a few additional days of technique work before full contact practices begin this summer. But the idea is that eventually they're going to phase OTAs out.
Oh.
And I wonder, does that help Seth, offensive lineman? Does that make it a little bit easier before training camp, before all the contact? There's a little extra days of technique work? Because I'm thinking to myself, the odds of these days taking place on non-official training camp days are very low. I feel like they would be very difficult.
Do they want to bring rookies in earlier?
It sounds like just all players.
Oh.
They're going to have like a couple of days, and I don't know if this counts as part of the training camp days of practice.
I guess it'll help a little bit. I don't like all these excuses I hear out of NFL coaches talking about how their players aren't prepared. Like, that's an advantage. If you have good coaches, it's a huge advantage that your offensive linemen aren't as ready for the NFL as they used to be. Coach them better. You have such a huge advantage if you have good coaches then. Coach them up better than these other teams are coaching them up.
They do seem pretty convinced on it, though.
Oh, they're obsessed with it. Like, I don't know how to coach a three-point stance. It's hard. Why is it hard? Well, the coaches are the worst at being like, I don't want to hear any complaining out of you, but it's so hard to coach you at the same time. I just, but don't complain, okay? But gosh, why can't I coach you?
It's really like,
just coach them up, man. It's not rocket science.
Imagine a teacher, you know, instead of wanting a summer vacation, saying, you know what? I need to teach these kids over the summer. That's what it is.
Plus, a lot of guys now are going to, they've always got these O-line academies are popping up all over the place.
Oh. Yeah,
hopefully, players are
hopefully all the Texans linemen are at those this summer.
I think there's, look,
spring.
There used to be a lot of overkill with training camp. Coaches were dumb with that. They would just beat the crap out of people. But for young players, young offensive linemen especially, there really is no replacement for getting the crap beat out of you by somebody like J.J. Watt. And I don't think they get as much of that as they used to. Because for one, teams can complain about the lack of practice time, but at the same time, they're limiting their own players too. Like, they're being as careful as they can with guys because they understand that injuries aren't the issue. I don't think the collective bargaining agreement is the issue. I think that teams don't want to get guys injured, so they're being very careful and judicious in how much they practice, and they just got to get better at actually coaching technique. Stop worrying about your little X's and O's and get out there and coach some real football. You listening to me?
It's a Friday.
It actually might be. This is when they do listen in the offseason. This is when they're listening.
It actually might be
this
now.
Chill. I want you to look yourself in the mirror when you get to the office. Go in there and tell yourself, how am I going to coach? How am I going to actually coach guys better this year? Not pretend I'm Vince Lombardi up on the grease board, painting out my power sweep and stuff. That doesn't win football games.
Yeah.
Coach your players to have better technique. Are you good enough? Are you man enough? Are you tough enough to actually coach guys and teach guys? Are you going to complain about how these guys don't know how to get into three-point stance? And I'm not denying it's hard to teach kids how to get into a three-point stance. I go down and work with little kids, and I'm like, I don't know anything about this game at all. I actually know nothing about how to teach the basics. But that's your challenge. Be a better coach than those yahoos over there in Tennessee or the jackasses in Jacksonville or the guys that are actually pretty good at it up in Indianapolis.
I got the key. Entrance to the offices. You've got a coach like a champion sign a la Notre Dame. They all get to slap it, and they all feel real good about themselves, get a little extra jump steps into the routine.
I hate that
blood
sign.
Flowing. Yeah, of course you do.
Which sign? You don't like to play Mr. like Michigan. A champion?
Yeah, hate that sign. Stupid sign.
How should they
it's
play?
Great sign.
They play like what?
Play like a champion, like, Mike.
Focus on the game.
Play like participation ribbon.
That's what Michigan does.
Yeah, that's what Mike. Play like.
It's a dumb
play
sign.
Play like you have a great history, but nothing really lately
it's
to show
a dumb
for
dumb
it.
Sign. You know, you all know it's a dumb
play
sign.
Play like you're in South Bend and don't like yourself
it's
anymore.
A boring sign.
Play like a Michigan man beat up frat boys instead of actual football players.
It's an Ohio State frat boy.
Play
he
like
had it coming. You know how? You know he had it coming.